This weekend, we had a very special celebration. 150th year. Yesterday was the anniversary. And so the bishop was down, is in Richland Center with us on Friday. And he was here at St. Gabriel's and St. John's Holy Family Parish yesterday to celebrate this momentous occasion in our lives as Catholic Christians. And in his talks those 2 days, he could really focus in on one aspect. We've received such a great gift from our ancestors, and we are reaping the benefits of their sacrifices. But what are you doing? What am I doing to pass on the faith to the next generation? To do this begins at home with the daily practice of our faith. You know, speaking so often on Sunday morning, on Saturday night, I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are already here. But how many more should be here? How many of our brothers and sisters, how many of our friends are not here? What am I doing to encourage them? Regular attendance at Mass is very important. Confession. But all of this centered on the Eucharist. That is what gives life to our faith. This gift of Christ's body and blood, soul and divinity, feeding us and strengthening us, giving us the grace to become disciples to a world that is very much in need. To build on the foundations that we have been given so that our children and grandchildren will have faith in another 150 years. But to do this, we have to own this gift. And we have to feed it, to continue to let it grow. We've got a great responsibility to those who are yet to come, just as we are reaping the responsibility of our ancestors, what they have given us. But are we taking this seriously? I think our readings today, in a very special way, feed into this. It's the theme that we look at this gift that we've received. The gift of the Ten Commandments that we read about in our first reading is the gift that was given to Moses for the people of Israel, but it is also a gift that is given to us, and not just once. Yes, we learn this when we're young, but it's a gift that we continue to learn, continue to feed, continue to grow in, so that we can live this gift. We can live this covenantal relationship with God. Ten Commandments are there to free us. They aren't there to restrict us, keeping us from becoming slaves to our passions, to our sin. That's what happens when we disregard them. So how do I see the Ten Commandments? There's different ways that we can see them, but let's look at a couple different guidelines. Our baptism places us in God's family. We become His sons and His daughters at our baptism, entering into His household. But like any household, there's got to be rules. There's got to be order and structure, or else the household itself just becomes chaos. Most of us, I think, have rules in our homes. They can vary. For some, it's taking shoes off before you walk into the house, taking the dishes to the kitchen sink after a meal. Someone has to take out the garbage. If it doesn't happen, the consequences are there. And there are expectations. But these rules are not there to restrict us. These rules are there so that we can enjoy the life that God gives us in its fullness. Christ tells us, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Another analogy, say you're going on a trip. What do we have to do first? We have to decide where we're going. And once we decide where we're going, how am I going to get there? Take a plane, a car, a bus, some other forms of transportation. And the rules that we have apply to whichever mode of transportation that we're taking. So say we want to go to Madison and we have an opportunity to fly. So we're just going to go out to the airport and we're going to go direct to Madison. We come back safely following all the rules that apply. The next week we have to go to Madison again, but this time we don't have access to an airplane. So I'm going to drive. But I had that GPS that was in the airplane. I'm going to plug it into my car and I'm going to follow the exact route. How far are we going to get? We're going to get to the airport and we're about 200 yards. We're going to be in a cornfield. And if we get through the cornfield, we're going to have a 500-foot bluff that we got to climb. We're not going to get too far. Each one has its own rules. Each one has its own guidelines. That is what the Ten Commandments show us. If we drive the car, we follow the rules of the road. We stay on the highway. This doesn't limit our freedom that we can't drive across the cornfield and up a bluff. It makes us free. It gets us to our destination and returns us home in safety. We live in such a legalistic society that we can see that as limiting our freedom. And legalistically, it does limit our freedom. That's a good thing in many ways, but the spiritual life is not the way to live a legalistic life. If we see it that way, the Ten Commandments are simply laws that have to be obeyed, that are there, that confine. And God is, you know, the big policeman in the sky just waiting for us to break one of these laws. But in reality, they are guidelines that free us. And that is what we need. Because oftentimes we get steered down the wrong path. We choose sin in our lives. This is what Jesus is speaking of when he goes into the temple today. We have to understand that too, to know what the temple was for the Jews. At that time, it was on the mountain that God appeared to men. When God came down and conversed with them, Abraham, Moses, David, all of these and more, Elijah, again and again, God comes down and encounters man on the mountaintop. So when David receives the instructions to build the temple, he gives those instructions to his son Solomon, and Solomon builds the temple on a mountaintop. That was the place where they would encounter God, where they would offer sacrifice. But it also became more than that. It became their national identity. Kind of like for us, it would be the Vatican and Washington, D.C. Everything all rolled into one in one building. It was who they were. The center of their faith lives, the center of their civic lives. But there's something greater here than the old temple. This new covenant, this new temple in Jesus Christ, where he resides, where the Holy Trinity resides. He is in every tabernacle and every church throughout the world. But more importantly, he is in every heart and soul of billions and billions of his baptized sons and daughters. And when we receive him in the Eucharist, he is present to us, just as he was present to the disciples in the upper room following his resurrection. He doesn't live in some far off place. He's not sitting there running the rule like a puppet on a string. He is right here in our midst. More intimate to us than our own spouse. He's in my heart. He's in my soul. But sometimes we turn away. And sometimes we sin. And that limits his grace. So we need to cleanse our temple at times. We need to form whips of grace. To kick over the tables of pride and selfishness, of greed and the ego. To clean and polish with prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Just as when Jesus cleansed the temple, we need to take drastic action as he did. Whatever it is in my life that needs to be reconciled. What are the money changers in my life? If we reflect, this may be our last Lent. This may be my last Lent. What am I doing to make this my best Lent? Is this Lent the same as it was last year? Is it the same as it was the year before? The year before that? Or am I truly making this the best Lent that I can have? Will it be any different? That's the question each of us needs to investigate. Each of us needs to ask ourselves. One more thing the bishop offered is a way to look into that, a way to live that. In a very special way is through adoration. We were not able to fulfill that 24 hours of adoration that we've had here for the last 8 years on Fridays of Lent. But we do have 12 hours of adoration. So following the 8:15 Mass on Fridays, we've got adoration until 8 o'clock at night with benediction. Come. Spend some time. Throughout the year, we've got adoration on Thursday mornings following the Mass until 1 o'clock. Normally, we'll have it for an hour on Friday mornings after the 8 o'clock Mass, for an hour or so. We've got opportunities to come to spend time. We don't need to be signed up for a special slot. The invitation is there to come, to be with Christ in this special way in adoration. We know our destination. We've got heaven plugged into our own personal GPS in our hearts. In adoration, we can see if we're on the right path. To see if I'm in the right vehicle. When is the time to come to renew that covenantal relationship that we have with God, that God desires with each one of us, with our merciful Father, so that when Easter arrives, we will be ready to rise with Christ to set the stage for another 150 years.